Okay, good evening and welcome to the Frequently Asked Questions class. We've got another topic that we've been discussing. I want to apologize for Sunday morning. We had a technical problem, and as great as technology has been to help us with everything that's going on, to be able to communicate with one another and get some information out there from time to time, we do have problems. And I did not find out until after class was over that really the biggest part of the class was not recorded and you couldn't hear the audio. So what we will do is we will basically kind of go back over that information since you weren't able to hear it. And then I'll just summarize what I was going to talk about for the Wednesday night class tonight along with that as well. And then we'll be finished with this topic. And then we'll start with another topic on Sunday morning with David Lanphier. And we appreciate you joining us and hope that the study so far has been beneficial to you and has caused you to think about some things that maybe are helpful and you growing and being more what God wants us to be and what we need to be to help each other and to help ourselves ultimately get to heaven. If you will, join me and we'll start the class with a prayer. Our merciful, righteous Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for this day and for all the many blessings that you have given us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, most of all, that died on the cross for the remission of our sins. And we know that it's only through his blood that we have a hope of being with you for eternity in heaven. Heavenly Father, help us to please be the kind of people that you want us to be in our lives every day. Help us to take your word and the example of Jesus Christ and form our character in the way that it should be and the actions that we execute in our lives every day and the thoughts that we think and the way that we work toward trying to help others. Please help us as we go through this Bible study tonight and help us to do everything we can to be more of what you would have us to be in the things that we do and say. Please forgive us where we fall short. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I don't have the light ring going on. I've got a light bar up there to try and make the video reproduction as best I possibly can. So if you remember, what we were talking about with regard to this class was kind of this idea of everybody's out of sorts. Everybody's dealing with something in some way or another, displaced in our routines. It's caused some folks to reevaluate their priorities in their lives. For others, it's caused them to get out of maybe good habits that they were in and thrown everybody kind of in a tailspin to some degree. And now things are beginning to cycle back into some kind of new normal because things won't ever be exactly the way they were before. And it's hard to believe that we're going through a time where we would have a comment like that made. But I think that's true. I think we're all going to be a lot more aware of what our responsibilities are in basically taking care of ourselves and trying to be aware of how we can better take care of others and be aware of others. But what we've got to do is do the very best we can to make sure that we exercise discipline in our lives to give God the attention that he commands, and then also keep our priorities straight and enjoy life to the very best possible way that we can every day. So, you know, my answer, hands down to that question, is about four things under the title of maintaining and growing in godliness. And the main four points that I've been talking about, first, what are our priorities? What are our individual priorities? What defines who we are and the habits that we have in our lives and how that causes us to do things every day, whatever those things are that we might do. And then the third thing that we were talking about was what does God expect from us? And what I was going to follow up with on tonight is what should we expect from ourselves? So that's what we're going to do. And if you remember, when we ended the class, not Sunday, but last Wednesday, one of the things that I had just gotten into a little bit, and I summarized this a little bit on the class on Sunday morning, and that was, if we're looking for people as examples, what defines us and how we live our lives, if we react to everything that happens in life, or we're, you know, my term that I've been really throwing around a lot here over the course of the last, since the first of the year, I guess, and that's a proactive life and living a proactive life. And really, I think probably for me, Jesus Christ was the example of that intentional, proactive person, even though he was deity incarnate and he walked the earth as a man, he had a mission. And he knew what that mission was, and he lived by that mission every single day. He did not let anything stand in his way of doing what he needed to do, of knowing what God wanted him to do, and to the very best of his ability in the physical form that he was in. Of course, he could do anything as deity, but trying to maintain the role of deity, but still showing the power of God and his relationship with God. So I think he was the ultimate example that we could use. And there's so many verses that we can look at in the Bible to that degree. In Matthew, it's one of my very favorites. As I studied Matthew last year, or maybe it was a year, 2 years ago. But anyway, when we did the Matthew study, and I did that with Justin Burris, we talked about the life of Christ, and it was such an incredible thing. In Matthew 3 and 13 through 17, God defined him as his son. In Matthew 4, he went on and was taken into the wilderness, led into the wilderness by an angel and tempted by Satan. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he went into that temptation. And I can only imagine what that would be like, what it would be like to fast for 40 days and 40 nights and then have the temptation that Satan put before him. But every time, what Christ did was he referred to Scripture. And he came back to Scripture and he says, no, I don't want the physical things. I don't want anything that you can give me, Satan. I want what matters the most, and that's my relationship with my Father God. And so he is absolutely the most there's a lot of people in the Bible that certainly we look to. I think about Peter a lot and the example Peter was. And again, you can go into Matthew and read a lot about Peter and how he made good choices and he made bad choices. And we talked about making choices, and we all make good choices and bad choices. We're human and we can't help but do that. But we've got to make more good choices than we make bad choices. And then when we make the bad choices, repent of those bad choices and get on track with what God expects of us. And I think that's the other point of this lesson is God has an expectation of us, no matter what's going on in the world that we live in, because this world's not forever. And we know that. And we want to live a life that will prepare us for when that day comes for each one of us. And if it comes, you know, before the end of the summer, then it's the same day for all of us. If we die in whatever condition that we're in. So it can be a different day for all of us when the Lord does come because our fate's safe. So we've got to decide. Satan is always going to be working on us, and that's going to be something we're going to talk about a little bit more in this lesson. But when Paul was basically convicted of what he did, he lived a convicted life. There's no doubt. He was an educated man, had a lot of very positive things going on in his life. But when he was persecuting Christians, he did it with conviction. He did it because he believed it. He did it because he believed it was right. But when Paul was brought to blindness and converted, and he became a bondservant of Jesus Christ for the rest of his life. And no one was more effective in the way that they went about serving the Lord. In Romans 6:16, when he wrote, he said, "Do you not know that when you offer yourselves as obedient slaves, you're slaves to the one that you obey, whether you are slaves to sin leading to death or to obedience leading to righteousness?" So we've got to choose what we're going to serve, whether we're going to serve Satan or we're going to serve God. So we've got to be the kind of proactive Christian that Christ would have us to be every day. Now, the next point I want to talk about, again, if you've got a piece of paper and a pencil and you're making notes on the computer, whatever it might be, is what about your acceptance of God's word? Do you really accept God's word for what it says? And then if we accept it, do we really work at implementing it? And that's another question that we've got to ask ourselves. You know, we might say that we accept it, but then what kind of job do we do at implementing what it says? In Revelations 22:18-19, it says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So, do we try and twist and contort and conform God's word to our lifestyle? Because if I'm using what I want instead of what God wants to decide how his word is going to speak to me or be revealed to me, then I'm saying, I'm going to kind of make it fit what I want to be able to do, God, instead of I'm going to do what it says. Because God expects us to believe in his word completely, and God expects us to follow his word completely. We've got to have the faith that is of a nature that we're going to, that we're obedient to his word. So that's something we've got to work on in our lives every day. It's something we've got to be aware of, and we've got to work toward trying to make sure that we accomplish. So the second point that I want to make is, do we believe that God's word is complete? Do you believe that God's word is complete? We've got to have faith that it is, and that it provides us all things needed for obedience. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." That basically says that no man's word that we ever read was anything that gives us what we need to know. It's only through the Holy Spirit that all of the men that wrote the Bible were able to write what they wrote. So we've got to remember that the Holy Spirit gave the inspired words to these men, and that's how they were able to write what they did, to give us what we needed to know. There's no wisdom from man, and that's the problem that a lot of people have today. They put more confidence in their own wisdom than they put in the confidence of the Lord, and we can't do that. We've got to put our trust and our faith in the wisdom of God, because he's given everything we need to know through the Holy Spirit. We've just got to decide if we're smart enough to listen to what we've been told through God's word and then work on implementing it in our lives to the best of our ability. But unfortunately, like I said, sometimes people want to make it fit their lifestyles, and that's the problem that a lot of people have. So we've just got to decide what we're going to do. If we're going to believe lies, we're going to believe what other people try and make us believe, or if we're going to live according to God's word and his will. I want to get your Bibles now and turn, if you will, to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and verses 14 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 27. It says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, and do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of just is like the shining sun. That shines even brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are all life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." And folks, what that is talking about is, number one, the choices that we make and the way that we go about living. But I think it also says something about who we spend time with, who we associate ourselves with. And if we're not living that kind of life, we also need to be ready to hear that from somebody else. If I've got something going on in my life that's wrong, if you've got something that's going on in your life that's wrong, and I love you, or if you love me, then I need to be able to listen to what you say. If I've got a problem and my life's not what God wants it to be, you've got to help me figure that out. You've got to bring it to my attention. I've got to do the same for you. And we can't be afraid of that. I've heard people say and had conversation with folks so many times where they say, oh, I just can't do it. I figure somebody else will do it. Well, maybe you're the right person to do it, but we got to do it in a loving way. But it says in Proverbs 27, 6, it says, Proverbs 27, 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So those that are in a wrong relationship with God, they're going to lie to you. They're going to deceive you. They're going to try and get you to believe a lie and deceive yourself. Wisdom in Proverbs is seen as a foreshadow of Christ and his life and the life that he lived and the teaching that he had. So anytime you're reading Proverbs and you read about wisdom and it's filled with all of the things of wisdom and it talks about wisdom specifically, it's a foreshadow of Christ and the life that he lived when he was here on this earth. And again, giving us more example of what we should be looking at. So the next thing I want to talk about is what defines who we are and what helps us to influence others or influences us. Well, of course, it's our character. It's the choices that we make in our lives. It's whether we intentionally try and live in a way that God will be pleased or we don't. That's something that we've got to decide. And it's being very intentional in our hearts and our minds and our souls. And that scripture that we referred to the class before. But, you know, it's part, like I said, of who we associate with. Who do you spend time with? And if you're spending time with the wrong people, it's probably not going to be good. It's going to be bad. It's not going to allow you to live a life that God's going to be pleased with. It's going to put you in a bad situation. Back to Proverbs again, Proverbs 13:20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And I'm sure that you've seen examples of things where people may be faithful and then they choose to start running around with the wrong people. They start doing the wrong things. And it has impact on their lives in a negative way, in a negative way. They think they know more. They think they are smarter. They think they've got a better understanding of what it is that they want their life to be or what it should be. And it's a mess. It's always a mess. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it talks about bad companions and the fact that it corrupts or ruins good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And who you spend time with matters. So young people, who you spend time with matters. Who you listen to matters. And a lot of times when we're young, we don't always want to necessarily listen exactly to what our parents say. And we might want to kind of start having our own opinion. And it's important to be able to have your own opinion. I don't disagree with that. But it needs to be grounded. That opinion needs to be grounded and formulated in God's word. And in examining the evidence and understanding what it is that you need to do and what you don't need to do, there's scripture for talking about how you need to be listening to your parents. Parents, we need to be listening to God's word. We need to be doing everything we can to better prepare ourselves to be the kind of parents that we need to be, because who we spend time with, who we decide how we're going to be, who we are, makes a difference in how we make our lives what God would have them to be. If you're associated with the wrong type of people, you're going to have problems. Proverbs 1:7, and it talks about the fear of the Lord. And it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's basically saying if you don't listen to or want wisdom, and wisdom comes from God's word, it comes from those that have been around a few years more than we have. You know, I try and grow from other people, but that are older than I am and younger people that not necessarily older than I am, but that I can also gain wisdom from in their study and the things that they have learned. But we've all got to be seeking wisdom. Liars will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wicked people are not for God, and they are basically for the world. We're either of the spirit or we're of the flesh, and these people are of the flesh. Liars will make you a liar, and if you spend time with them, you're going to become more of a liar. And, you know, the question is, why do people lie? I think the reason people lie is because they want to be able to justify the wrong things they're doing in their lives. And when you tell one lie, you tell five more to cover up the lie that you've told. And it puts you in a terrible place. You get what you want. You think, hey, that went pretty good. Let's do it again. And then you just keep on lying until you get to a place where you can look somebody straight in the face. You can have a big smile on your face and you can lie knowing that you're lying. Folks, if you get in that kind of place, you need to reach out to a friend that will help you. You need to get on your knees and you need to pray to God because you're in trouble. John 8, 42 through 47 is what I want you to look at next. You know, when I say you're either of the devil or you're of God, you're of the world or you're of the spirit, then it is the truth, and you've got to make a decision about which is more important to you. If you are telling a lie and you say, oh, I still believe in God, but I'm just having a few problems. Now, if you're lying habitually, your father is Satan, and that's what the scripture says, and that's what Jesus told some folks with regard to lies and the way that they were going about living their lives and the problems that they were creating for themselves. Here's what he says. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word, because they didn't want to hear it. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he's a father of lies. And we've got to understand that if we follow him and his word and his will, that we're going to be the same way. A couple of other verses there, 45 through 47. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. You don't believe me because I'm telling you the truth, because you don't want to hear it. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So you can't be lying and say that I'm a Christian. I'm of God, because you are not. And we've got to decide what's important to us. Do you influence people or do people influence you? That was something I always used to tell the kids all the time. You're influenced by somebody, and you're either influencing them in a positive way, or they are influencing you in a positive way or a negative way. And you've got to decide which roads you're going to go down. We've got to make sure that we associate with people that are of good character. People that are not of good character are going to be a negative influence on our lives. So we want to do the best we can to make sure that we associate with the right people. And if we associate with the right people, they're going to help us be more of what God wants us to be. They're going to help us grow closer to God. They're going to help us to try and surround ourselves with people that are godly instead of us associating with people that are not godly. And if we do associate with those people, we become a fool. Wisdom doesn't mean anything to us. We've chosen the world instead of choosing God and trying to be obedient to his word and his will. The next point that I want to talk about is, what does God expect from us? What does God expect from us? Well, he expects godly character. He expects us to live in a way that we're going to try and let him be reflected in our lives every day. Godly character, a loving spirit, service to others. Those are the kinds of things that God is looking for from us and wants us to try and live in our lives every day. So there's lots of scripture for that. I'm not going to read this one because you're familiar with it, and I'm trying to condense our time a little bit here, but I will go over to Galatians. I've got lots of scriptures in Galatians we're going to look at. So go ahead and turn your Bibles over to the book of Galatians, if you will. And maybe I will go ahead and read this one. We've heard it a lot, but I want you to focus on what our spirit should be, what our lives should be, how we should live our lives, and the kind of example that we should be to others. Now, this is what people should see in me, and this is what people should see in you. In Galatians 5:22 through 26, it talks about it, the fruit of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no law. And those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So those are the kinds of characteristics that should be a part of our lives. In Galatians 2:20, what does it say? And we've had this as a focus verse over the last few years. And it basically says that if we are of God and we are of Christ, that it's not us that people see anymore. It's Christ that people see in our lives. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we can't have lies in our life. We can't have the world absorbing and defining who we are if we have Christ in us, because Christ was not that way. So we can't have both. We've got to decide which one are we going to be and which one are we going to let our lives be shaped and fashioned by. In also Galatians, the sixth chapter in verses 6 through 10, what are we going to act like? And if we look at Galatians 6, and 6 through 10, it says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that's what he will reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I think that's where some people have a problem, and it can happen at any time in life. You can be a new Christian. You can be an older Christian. You can't lose heart. You've got to maintain the faith. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity in verse 10, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So that verse is talking about how we should act in our lives every day and what should be reflected in our lives every day. In the next verse that I want to look at, let's look at Ephesians 5:8-11. And it's basically the light that it talks about. I'm not going to look at that one right now. Write that down and take a look at that yourself. Ephesians 5:8-11. It's talking about the light that should be reflected in our lives. There's either darkness or there's light. And we have to decide which one we're going to be. If we're in darkness, we're of Satan, the devil, the father of lies. If we're in light, then we are of God and we live the way that he wants us to. We're going to be the kind of person that he wants us to be every day. Another thing that I want us to think about is what it sounds like, you know, what we sound like as a person that has godly character. I want to go over to Philippians, if you will. Philippians, the first chapter and verse 27. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or are absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together in the faith of the gospel. That's Paul writing that letter. And he's basically telling them that your conduct should always be consistent. In also Philippians, the fourth chapter in verses 4 through 6, it talks about the peace that we should have in the Lord and being the kind of people that he would have us to be every day. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God's in control. God is the man that ultimately our spiritual father, not the man, but he's in control when I say the man. And we need to recognize that. And we can't get sidetracked by trying to believe that there's other things that are going to happen or there's other people that can have impact in our lives in a positive way if they're not of God. And we want to live our lives that way for sure. Another verse that I want to look at, Johnny's teaching the book of Romans with Matt Mayo right now. And it's a really good study. If you have a time to listen to that, you certainly ought to do that. But I want to look over in Romans, the 8th chapter. And what he was talking about was the flesh and basically those that were starting to have problems with going into the flesh and the challenges of remaining faithful, as we talked about a little bit earlier. And it says in Romans, and I want to look at verses 8 and 12 through 14, but that entire book really, the first part of that book talks about it. But it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If we live by the Spirit, we put to death the flesh. The things of this world are not the things that matter to us. The physical things of this world are not the things that matter to us. It's the relationship that we have with God and knowing that he's going to save us for eternity if we're faithful to him. In Colossians 1, 9 through 12, Paul was exhorting the church at Colossae for their faithfulness. And he's basically encouraging them and saying, you know, you're doing a good job. In Colossians 3, 12 through 17, he continues to also remind them of the character that they should have. And I'm not going to read that right now, but look at those. Colossians 3, 12 through 17, Colossians 4, 2 through 6. And understand that God recognizes when we're being the kind of people that we should be. And then the last thing that I want to talk about is the kind of loving spirit that we should have. If we have a loving spirit, it's going to determine how we act toward others. It's going to determine our willingness to submit to God and his will and live the way that God would have us to live. But if we don't have that loving spirit, we're going to be self-centered. We're going to be someone that is more interested in trying to do what we want to do than what God wants us to do. And that's just not the way our lives need to be. In Galatians, if you want to grab your Bibles and look over there, I do want to look at a few of these verses. Galatians 5 and verse 13. In Galatians 5 and 13, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So the relationship that we have for one another and with one another, the liberty that we have through the gospel, through God's word, we've been freed from the chains and the bondage of this world. We've been made anew and we've been made a creature that he would have us to be. But it says, love serve one another. Through love serve one another. We've got to work at serving one another in our lives every day. The next scripture that I want to look at is in Galatians also, in chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. We talked about that one just a few minutes ago, but it helps us to understand that we've got a responsibility to one another in the way that we live, in the way that we act, in the way that we work towards serving those folks. First Peter, chapter 4 and verse 10. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Says, and each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He's talking about how we should work toward trying to serve one another, help one another when we have an opportunity to do so. You know, and I think there was an email that went out this last week about Jack Howell, and Jack loves his congregation, has been a part of the Bowling Green community for many years. But you also saw in that note where Georgia had to be put in a facility for the dementia and how bad it had gotten. And so Jack needed to be able to stay in California to be able to take care of her. He's selling all of his belongings here and selling his house. And he was donating dollars given or dollars raised from selling inventory or his personal belongings, their personal belongings out of that house and making it available to folks that had a need in our congregation. And, you know, I think that's a great example of a man and a woman doing something like that, of sharing the blessings that they've had with folks that might have a need later on. So we certainly want to keep Jack and Georgia in our prayers, but appreciate the great example that he is and has been all the years that he's been part of our congregation. in Colossians 3:17, when we think about service to others, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I had some other scriptures that I wanted to look at, but I'm really running out of time. I've run just a little bit longer than I intended to. But the scriptures, I'll tell you what they were. Mark 10, 44 through 45, where we're talking about service to others and God being reflected in us. Also in Philippians 2, 1 through 4. It's Philippians 2, 1 through 4 and Ephesians 2, 10. So look at those things a little bit closer too. And lots of times, you know, it's the way that we look at things and we think we have to do big things. It's not big things. Sometimes it can be big things. Sometimes it can be little things that we can do. And sometimes it can be needed things, whether they're big or little. But we should not be afraid to serve. So look at Matthew 5, 3 through 10 and 13 through 16. And the kind of character that Christ told us that we should have in our lives. And I think I'll read that one with you just real quick before I end, close the class. Matthew 5, 3 through 10, when he's talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, kind of character that we should have in our lives. Matthew 5, 3 through 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then over in 13 and 16, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we want to do in our lives every day. And the last point, and really we can summarize it with everything that we were talking about. What should we expect of ourselves? We should expect of ourselves the very best that we can do to please God, to try and live according to his word and his will, to try and be the kind of person that he would have us to be. So how do we do that during all of this time? We stay focused on him, on his word, his will, on doing the best we can to worship him in whatever circumstances we're in. And this one, the situation with COVID-19 has been a little bit difficult, but the elders have done the very best we could to try and make it available to everyone as we proceed forward with opening the building back up and having it available for folks that feel comfortable with being able to do that. We look forward to seeing everybody there that can be, that feels comfortable with that. And if they're not, we'll still have the online service, but we'll be taking every caution that we can to make sure it's as safe an environment as we possibly can have it be. Thank you for being a part of this class, and thank you for studying and your commitment to God and to our brethren at West End Church of Christ. And we'll look forward to the lesson that David will start for us on Sunday morning. Thanks for attending.